Well, good morning, everyone, once again. Way to go. Don't we appreciate and value our wonderful young leadership leading us in worship? Yep, thank you. And you might have known Pastor Mike Sanders in the drum kit. Can you tell him thank you, too? You may be seated. We want to welcome you to be seated. This is the time we are going to enjoy being in the Word of God. If you would like to use one of our Bibles, please do. Our ushers are here, and they will see an open hand and will place a Bible in your hand. Please do. We want to also highlight the fact, too, that we encourage individuals to not only make notes on the back of the bulletin, the outline of today's message. That way you can go quickly into a life group, because that's really where life happens, that element of accountability, and just it's enjoyable and exciting. Don't rely on your memory, just those things that you feel Lord speaking to you about, how that just kind of resonated, and write it on down. I think you're going to find that somebody else may not have got or received what you felt the Lord spoke to you about. You take it into a life group, it's pretty exciting. Hey, well, how excellent has it been with regards to just a family fun fair, baby dedication? Just got to highlight, too, as you might be aware, we have some more babies that were born. We're grateful for Jalal and Crystal Side, whose little baby Zoe Side was born this week. Can we just thank the Lord for her? And I believe they're even watching via live stream. Can you give a big cheer for them? It's exciting. Yeah. And naturally, the Mansoors with their little baby Evan going on, and how fun. And I want to just thank and highlight those who are watching via live stream, because we're receiving notice that there are those from the Philippines that are watching and from Great Britain. And so can you give a cheer for those that are watching from a distance and just welcome to Hope Chapel. We're grateful. So what's exciting about what's happening is that we're in a series, and that's entitled Making a Difference. That's our series, and we've been enjoying that over the last 4 weeks. Our evangelist, Bill Janes, did an outstanding job last Sunday. So we're right back here with our series, Making a Difference. If you notice in the back of your bulletin, today's message is From Fear to Faith. And I'm in Genesis chapter 15. Can you find that? Genesis chapter 15. We've been studying how Abraham has made a difference, especially because he's just trusting the Lord and obeying God in so many different facets. And here's one where he is learning how from fear to trust the Lord in the process. And we get a chance to learn some things as well. Just before we begin, you know I always like to start with a little joke. So on behalf of little Charlotte, this is a child story. How's that? A little boy was searching through the family big, tall Bible on the coffee table. And as he was thumbing through, a big leaf dropped down because it was being pressed in between the pages. He noticed it, picked it up, ran into the kitchen, showed my mom, look what I found. I think this is Abraham's underwear. You never know. There you go. Have to shorten things up. But we're in Genesis chapter 15, and we're looking at verses 1 through 6. This is a significant passage of Scripture, especially verse 6. It really is a place, the prima facie. It's really in Latin meaning first look, the first look. This is the first look where God is going to justify a person without them doing anything except believe, faith, trust. So we've been looking at Abraham. He just came off of a big battle. Let's look at verse 1 together, and before we do, our custom, Lord, we don't want to just assume this is any textbook. This is the Word of God. And Lord, if we're going to receive anything, it's got to be from you. So let everybody receive something that moves them closer to you, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. We're taking a look at something here. Verse 6, just highlight, because we'll break it down into 4 points, the step from fear to faith. But we're looking at this aspect. How can an unrighteous man, a godless man, basically, how about a person that is not holy, approach a holy God and be declared righteous? Here we have it right here. This is an amazing thing. We recognize that God has done something here, and he's the just and justifier. There really are only two kinds of religions in our world. The first religion is the religion of human, basically, achievement. I will reach up to God through my many variables, however, of religiosity. How's that? The other one is the religion of divine accomplishment. For example, Jesus came as the Messiah, giving his life, dying for the world, the sins of the world. And for those who believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Divine accomplishment of what God has done on the cross. That's an amazing thing. We are saved by believing that. This is the beginning of that aspect. This element that you and I recognize when we were in Habakkuk a while back, how that Habakkuk says, "The just shall live by faith." Then we see the same phrase in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, "The just shall live by faith." Then Galatians 3, 11, hey, if you didn't catch it, "The just shall live by faith." Faith in what? In what God has done. So let me just remind you that living in the balance of grace and faith before we proceed a little further. Abraham believed God, and God says, "Man, that's good enough. You're now right with me." Wow, how can that be? How does God do that? Well, it's called grace. What God accomplished. Grace is what God does. Grace is called favor. I'm just going to favor you. You may not even know what God is all about. He knows everything about you, and he favors you, or else he wouldn't have even made you. But this is grace right here. We sang Amazing Grace, how God so loved this planet that he gave himself, and he gave his son. So when we take a look at this, it's important because we are saved by grace through faith. That's man's part. Ephesians 2:8. God's part, "I'm going to bring my favor upon you." How are you going to receive? By faith. I believe what you have said and what you have done. This Bible is filled with over 3,000 promises. That's going to be important to anybody that says, "How important is the book?" Very important. Faith comes by hearing. Now let's do just a little review, because we were spending some time a while back in the living life in the balance of grace and faith. Grace, let's just say, is sodium. Okay? Faith is chloride. You ingest any one of those individually, those are poison, and you will die. You put those two together, it becomes salt. We all take that in. It's amazing. Some people emphasize all grace. God's just so good. He just loves you all you want. But the problem with that is you don't mingle it with your faith, you'll never be saved. You'll never be saved. If you take just faith and no grace, you'll come under condemnation. "Well, I just got to believe enough, bro. Just got to like do it enough times of prayer. Maybe if I just heighten my involvement with church attendance, God will just bring his favor on me." Condemnation. Grace and faith combination, so necessary. And we're seeing it right here with Abram. He finally got it and says, "God, you're really going to do this for me? I believe that. Do you really believe that God sent his son die on the cross? Do you really believe that?" "Well, I know about it. Everybody knows about Jesus. Man, we just celebrated Christmas." But do you mingle it with your faith? Because if not, there's still some things waiting for you. So when we take a look here, we're looking at the aspect, how that grace is God's part, faith is your part. Abraham mixes his faith with what God has promised him. So let's begin now in Genesis chapter 15, point number one, fear of man. Fear of man. Isn't it interesting? In verse 1, you can see your notes as you start to peer into this. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram, before he's called Abraham, in a vision saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. Now, it's interesting here because God's saying, fear not, don't be afraid. God just doesn't walk up to people and say, hey, by the way, I just don't want you to be afraid. There's got to be some fear in Abram. That's what's happening here. He has a fear that's happening here. And there's some research. People think, well, he's afraid because, well, when you were with us last time in chapter 14, there was that big battle. It was Abram and his 318 trained servants going to get his nephew Lot and rescue all the POWs from Sodom and Gomorrah, from the allegiance or the alliance of four kings through King Chedorlaomer. So he just came back from a big victorious battle. So some think, well, he's afraid because he's got this post-traumatic stress. We've heard that. Some very brave individuals, even in our church, served in time, but because they come off the battle, there's dread and fear and sometimes night terror. But I don't think that's it. Somebody thinks that could be it. Others feel he's afraid because, well, God appeared in a vision. And there's some background that we have with that as well. When God shows up, I mean, verse 1, then the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, do not be afraid. But we know that that's happened in a number of other people. Isaac, remember, God appeared in a vision, do not be afraid. Jacob, the same thing. Hey, don't be afraid. We have Joseph and Mary. Mary, hey, you're the highly favored one. Do not be afraid. Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. There's also the aspect, too, of Daniel in Daniel chapter 10. He's saying, Lord, when are you going to give us this breakthrough? God appears. Do not be afraid. So it seems like when God shows up, when there's visions, when there's dreams, there's always a, hey, don't be afraid. We're here to communicate some stuff. John in Book of Revelation chapter 1, turned around, there's Jesus, falls on his face like a dead man. Do not be afraid. But I think what we see here, what he actually is afraid, I just submit to you, I think it's man. He's afraid of man. There's a couple of reasons for that. First of all, look at verse 1 again. Can you see it there? After these things, what things are we talking about? The big battle. He just recovered and recovered the pieces and the spoils of war. He's got 318 trained dudes with him. But what if there's retaliation from King Chedorlaomer? What if he's going to bring his alliance back and say, man, we're going to clean your clock one of these days? Fear of man. Also, the other, we saw where King Sodom came and said, you know what? Thank you for bringing back everything. You keep the booty. Let me have the souls of men. I mean, it's kind of like evil. Isn't it? Can you just see something hideous? You have all the riches. Let me just have your soul. Ooh. But Abram says, no. I'm not going to take even a cent for fear you're going to say, I made Abram rich. He basically is almost as if he's cutting off all dependence on others. So, fear of man. Who am I going to rely on? What would be an indication of that? Verse 1 again. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, an exceedingly great reward. I am your shield. I'll protect you. Don't be afraid of men. Now, just going to step just out a little bit. There could be some of us who are in Abram's sandals. You have people coming after you. You have somebody that is pursuing you. Fear of man, a coworker, a relative, or a neighbor. Somebody's hauled you into court. You've been served papers. Those things happen. And we have the fear of man that will creep over us. It's happening right here to Abram. Fear of man, because we're talking about moving from fear into faith, and you could see what's happening here, and fear is one of the most destructive human emotions. It causes people to become almost to where they're debilitated, they can't move, they become almost irrational in their ability to move forward into things. They're just frozen. Fear is a strong emotion. University of Wisconsin did a study, and they said 40% of our fears are unfounded worries that will never come about. 40%. So there can be those times that you and I worry about something that never happens. Why do we lose so much sleep over those things? There's a little children's author, Sheila Silverstein, who writes a little poem. It's called What Ifs. Let me read the little poem. I'm sure you may have come across it. It's pretty cute. What Ifs. She writes this: last night, while I lay thinking here, some what ifs crawled inside my ear and pranced and partied all night long and sang their same old what if song. What if I'm dumb in school? What if they've closed the swimming pool? What if I get beat up? What if there's poison in my cup? What if I start to cry? What if I just get sick and die? What if I flunk the test? What if green hair grows on my chest? Goes on a little bit further and wraps up, says everything seems swell. And then the nightmare, what if, strikes again. See, children fear, young adults fear, old adults fear, Christians fear. You have to be careful about that, and you need a shield. And you might be basing it on the shield of the history of other people, or the government, or your job, but you need the shield of God. That's what God says to Abram. Abram, I am your shield. Man, Paul, I write my name in there. Paul, God is my shield. That's something that you and I get a chance to declare. God is your shield. So the fear of man. Number two, let's take a look. How about fading hope? Verse 2. In verse 2 says, but Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring, and indeed one born in my house is my heir. Now, Abram gets a rebuttal going on here. This is not, he's not being defiant. He's not shaking his fist at God. It does sound like that, but it's a rebuttal. It's like, hey, look, you've promised me some things, and I've been waiting quite a while. You remember that quite a while when we started this journey and God said, get out of Ur of Chaldees. He's 75 years old. You're going to have the Ishmael thing in the next chapter that hits, and he's going to be 86 at that time trying to work his own little heirdom. But this time he's probably 10, 11 years old, maybe 85. Lord, you promised me some heirs. How come? You've made several promises to me. Have you had God say or share some promises to you? Be important that you get a chance and check out the scriptures. You know, some people don't ever pick up the book anymore because they're like, it's not going to happen. What? Doesn't change. The promise is still there. It's interesting. He made several promises. If you're ready to write, here they are. Let me remind you. In Genesis 12, 2, remember when God says, I'm going to bless you, Abe, and I'm going to make you a great nation. How about chapter 12 again, verse 7? He says, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I give this land. How about chapter 13, verses 14 and 15? Another same promise. Lift up your eyes and now look. From the place where you are, north, south, east, west, for all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. Man, that is a cool promise, cool promise. And I will make your descendants, he continues on, like the dust of the earth. Then, chapter 13, verse 16, comes along and says that again, in the dust of the earth, that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could be numbered. Same promise. Re-emphasizes same promise. Problem is, no kids. That's what the rebuttal is. Hey, this is a great promise. I've got no kids. And the one I do have, is my key servant, and he's going to be one wealthy dude because I'm pretty rich. So we take a look here. His biological clock is ticking. Sarah is not a spring chicken. He recognizes things are a little challenging here. So when we deal with this, Abraham is old. He's honest with God. I just want to highlight for you who are waiting for God and recognizing we're talking faith. We're talking faith. Remember, grace and faith. Got to mingle it. God can promise something, but it's dead zone if you don't mingle it with your faith. Got a promise? No, I forget it. Well, get back into the book. Get back into the book because it doesn't change. Faith comes by hearing the word. So Abram says, you know, I really got a little bit of a rebuttal. I'm not quite sure what's going on, but I have no children. God help me to understand. I'm learning here. I don't quite get what's going on. How are you going to work this? So he talks to God. That would be number one. I just write that down. Man, if I got a rebuttal, if my hope is fading, I don't have anything that's going to come about. My life's going to same old, talk to God. Oftentimes we'll talk to the banker, talk to the relatives, might talk to our buddies, and God's going, psst, I'm over here. Why don't you and I, let's talk about this. So talk to God would be number one. Second, be honest with God. It's okay to bless God and honor the Lord and praise him, but man, just pour it out. Pour your guts out. It's important. Abram's being pretty straightforward. I like C.H. Spurgeon says this, there is no secret of my heart that I would not pour out into his ear. Man, that's great. Be honest. And third, be specific. Just go ahead and let him tell exactly how you feel. Often we're kind of vague. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, you know, Lord, you kind of know everything and you know what I need, so I really don't need to go into detail. What kind of a prayer is that? It's like, you know, for the spoken and unspoken, just kind of like you laid on me. You would go into a restaurant, right, open up the menu and say, you know, I've got some unspoken health dietary needs. Just deal with it. Hand it to me. You know what? You wouldn't do that. You would go into specifics. Go into specifics with God. I don't like what I'm experiencing, Lord. I've got some promises here. When's it going to come about? Why not? Why not? It's in your heart. It's mulling it over. Deal with it. So do you have fading hopes? Talk to God. Be honest. Be specific. That'd be great. Let's take a look at number three. Faithful promises. Let's deal with that. Because we're moving from fear to faith, faithful promises. The third, let's look at verse 4 and verse 5. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Now, this is interesting because in this rebuttal, God kind of rebuttals him again. But letter A, God repeats the promise. What's that all about? Well, God doesn't explain himself. He just repeats the promise. You know, there are some people who says, well, if God doesn't explain why and how he's going to do this, I'm out. Well, you and I don't live on explanation. We live by promise. You could actually eliminate yourself by saying, I don't think this is going to work. I don't see how it can work. Can you explain it, God? And he just speaks the promise. Get into the book. It's right there. Well, I don't know how. The promise is there. He repeats the promise. It's so amazing. So you don't live on explanation, but you live off of promise. So important. Remember, God's part, grace. Grace. Man, I'm enjoying my salvation because I sealed it with faith. I entered into this relationship with Almighty God through faith. And to advance, I'm going to have to keep going at it the same way by faith. What's a promise that you're needing or hanging on to? See, faith pleases the Father, Hebrews 11:6. Why does it please him? Because he just likes when people kind of have to be forced to come to him? No, I think he's pleased because he knows you're opening up your life for some great things because he wants you to succeed. He wants you to do well. He wants you to be happy, and he knows the way to go. He'll give you a promise. I'd sure like to have an explanation. He'll just repeat the promise. And just in case you forget, it's in print form. Praise the Lord. Man, how do I forget these things? But I do memorize. I like to memorize the word. Remember, memorize, meditate, then minister the word. And guess what I get to do? I get to minister the word this morning. But how about letter B? Then all of a sudden, the promise, he starts to clarify. So check it out here in verse 4. Behold, the word of the Lord. Here he comes again to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Abram, hey, it's not going to be Eliezer, your servant, but let me teach you about the birds and the bees. It's going to be you, my man. It's going to come from your own body. And in their panic, they get the Ishmael thing going. Anybody ever try to force the old hand of God and say, I think I know how he's going to do it? Huh? Anybody say amen? Amen. Yeah, thank you, all three of you. Well, I just got to tell you a few of my stories. Man, it's amazing. I remember when we were back in Banning, have some of our dear friends in Banning. I remember when the Lord says, I will take care of you, Paul, and your family. But the first 2 years are going to be tough. And they were. Remember, we were promised by the district office, make sure the Harmons get at least $900 a month. That'd be good. And it was working part-time, and God started to be gracious. But we remember when it was just 7 days from the end of that year and saying, Lord, you know what our needs are. And a young couple came up, just wonderful young couple. They had a golf sculpturing business and presented us with a check, $5,700, and it matched the amount that we were believing the Lord for 7 days before the end of the year. I wish God could have, like, measured it out in weeks. Wouldn't it have been great? But the Lord's so gracious when he does it that way. But he clarifies the promise. Letter C, God expands the promise. Look at verse 5. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Wow. At one time, it was like the dust of the earth, you know, the sands of the shore. If you can count those grains, that's how your family is going to be. Have you ever just gone to the end of the pier and looked up to see the stars? Amazing at night. Isn't it amazing? Check it out if you ever get to Big Bear on the dry lake bed, and you're in the middle there, and you hear nothing but donkeys around you. That's pretty eerie. You can't even see your face. But you see the stars, and they just look like smoke. There's so many of the Milky Way. It's the most unusual experience to see that many stars. It's just like a mist. And that's what he's seeing. That's how your descendants are going to be. Now, what helps is that all of a sudden, point four, faith in God. Verse 6, and he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. What an amazing thing that verse is. This is a Gentile. This is a man before the law of Moses. Moses wasn't even born yet. This is before any kind of covenant came in, like circumcision. Man, just, you are right with me. That's what stirred all the New Testament people and brought in today's Christians, you and me. God just wants you to believe him. God just wants you to believe him. He's accomplished everything called grace. But if you don't mix it with faith, you're not saved. And you don't mix it with faith, there's not much he can do. I'd like to conclude before praying. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. Can you find Romans chapter 4? I'm in the New Testament. So if you find Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans chapter 4, verse 1. In Romans chapter 4, verse 1 through verse 5. I'll wait till every. I just love hearing the Bible pages turn. I should have you flip a little bit more. Doesn't it just rustling of the leaves? Yeah, somebody, I could fall asleep according to that sound. Me too, but let's keep go to Romans 4. What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. What does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt or something due them. Verse 5, but to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted as righteousness. Now, friends, only the Holy Spirit will show you exactly what's going on here. Because if you've ever been condemned and feeling guilt-riddled, that you're not somehow doing enough, or you were raised in that environment that you have a salvation by works, then this message is for you. And for you who started off in faith and mighty man, mighty woman of valor, and are back going into fear of man, and let your faith rise. Get into the book. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Faith comes by hearing the word. You believe, that'll save you and save your household as well. Let me pray for you. Father, we want to thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the way that you work in and among us. And thank you for Abraham. There's so many great Abrahams, even in this room, that life's journey has really demonstrated a quality of faithfulness to you, Lord. But today, you're speaking to us personally. Lord, you're addressing things about you and us. We can't take anyone else with us to heaven. It's between you and me. So, Lord, as we just once again present ourselves, thank you for speaking some things to us that we believe will be outstanding and miraculous. Lord, let your glory, let your peace, let your provision, and above all, let your promises come back to us, especially for those who have given up, walked away from you, have no interest in you, have interest in other things, but not according to the eternal things. Lord, help them. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet. Let's sing a song, and I'll come back and pray us off one more blessing. Let's sing this song together, shall we? Thank you, Sean. Thank you, worship team.
In Christ alone,
in Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of. Darkness seems to hide his face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. And my anchor holds within the veil. Alone,
weak made strong in the Savior's love. And through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. So like in Christ alone, the cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, You're the Lord of all.
We just applaud. Let's thank the Lord for what He's spoken to us, helped us with. You just allow just a 30 seconds more for the sake of those watching live stream, or maybe you are here as well and you've never really made Jesus Christ Lord. You believe He's Savior, you acknowledge the cross, but there's something about I make You now Lord of my life, which means what He says goes. That's a tough one for self-made individuals, but I'll tell you, it's very life involved and joyful. Let me lead us all in this prayer, and it could be talking to some of you who are watching via live stream, maybe even you who are here. God spoke to your heart. Today's the day. Today's the day. Why not? Why not? What do you have to lose? You can always go back to your old lifestyle, huh? Always go back. Might press ahead. Give them a crack. Let me pray right now. Repeat this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, let's try it, everybody together. Dear Jesus, I believe in You, that You are the Savior of the world. And this day, I make You my Lord. I welcome You, Lord, to come into my life, to be my Savior and Lord. Trusting You, Jesus, for eternal life in heaven. Now, dear Lord, help me. Make me the kind of person You want me to be. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Wow, let's just thank the Lord for that. You know, it's interesting. We didn't ask anybody to come down, raise a hand, sign the attendance card, anything like that. God knows. Abraham believed. Boom. It's a done deal. God knows your heart. And if you meant that prayer, things are going to start to change. I encourage you, get into a church, good church like Hope Chapel, where you get discipled and you get into the Word of God. Because, see, He has principles that will help you to manage your life in a way that is very successful, very helpful, and very happy. So with this, if you happen to give your life to Jesus today, and for our guests who are here, would you do me just a little favor? We have a tear-off. It's Get Connected. I want to see if you would fill that out upon your departure. There's a little round table, black table, says welcome on there. We want to give you a Hope Chapel mug. Please. Love to make sure that we know that you are here, especially on your journey with Jesus. Welcome back, everybody. Let's enjoy this again next Sunday. Life, as we know it, with our lead meeting today at 5:30, leaders, guests, volunteers, don't forget. Let me pray off that blessing. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. And Lord, we just love You. And Lord, we're going out not only with Your presence, but Lord, for those that have surrendered their life to You. May have been secret, but Lord, something so good won't be a secret for long. People are going to say, what is new and different about that face? Lord, bless each and every one, every person, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for coming. You're dismissed.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.